I get to talk about one of my favorite topics in the world today. That's us growing in our relationship with God. And I'd love to define that by 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. In fact, if you could, would you say this with me? 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 says this. Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant say the verse. It's really good, though. Let's read the verse. Ready? Your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. Let me ask you a simple question. Are you growing in your relationship with God? I think what Paul is talking about is when we're growing in our relationship with God, our faith is flourishing and our love for other people is growing more and more. Now, I love helping people take their next steps in faith. It's just amazing to see when one person's life is transformed, a marriage is transformed. When one person's life is transformed, a family is transformed, and you just never know how generations will be impacted by one person's life being transformed. I love the story about the guy. He'd been following Jesus for less than a month, and he said, I'm so excited about my faith. I can't stop reading the Bible. Everywhere I go, I'm reading the Bible. And I've got to tell people about Jesus everywhere I go. I have to tell them what he's done for me, what he can do for them. And this true story, he said, I'm so fired up that I used to go to strip clubs. And when I'd go there, I would just lust. And it wasn't a good thing. But since I've been following Jesus, now when I go to strip clubs, I don't lust anymore. I just say, They need Jesus. I'm glad you found that at least a little bit funny, because I love it. It's so raw, right? Right? When you start following Jesus, we start growing and we learn about how the gospel impacts all areas of our life, and it's great. Now, what I'm not saying is if you're growing, you should go to strip clubs. Let's just make that very clear this morning, okay? It's not what I'm saying. Now, the question we're asking this morning is, are you growing in your relationship with God? You know, the reality is that for many of us, in so many areas of life, it feels like we're just treading water. And we're not, maybe not sinking, but it doesn't feel like we're growing or we're moving ahead. We're just kind of treading water. And we wake up and we think, you know what, what's happened to my marriage? What happened to my finances? Or you know, I'm not making any progress in the areas that matter most in life. Now, if you'd be honest with me, I'm going to ask you a question if I could get your participation. How many of you would love to show me by a raise of hands that after 5 years, if you looked back 5 years earlier, you'd be able to say honestly, I achieved the goals that I set. How many of you would love that? To be able to look back after 5 years and say, I was growing. I saw measurable growth. We would love that, right? But here's the idea. The main point, if you're taking notes, is that everybody ends up somewhere. But few people end up somewhere on purpose. Everybody ends up somewhere. Your marriage is going to end up somewhere. Your family, your finances are going to end up somewhere, but very few people end up somewhere on purpose. What we're doing over the next several weeks is we're talking about ending up somewhere on purpose in the three areas that matter most in life. It's the great passion and the mission of Gateway Church. It's that we would know God, that we would grow together, and that we would go and serve. We're going to talk about those things. Knowing God, where we develop a relationship with God. We're going to grow together where we look to be in community. And we're going to go and serve where we're going to make an intentional impact for the kingdom of God. Does that sound good to anybody else? What I want to do this morning, I want to briefly answer two essential questions that will help us be intentional in growing in our relationship with God. Two questions. The first one is this, if you're taking notes. Is what disciplines do I need to pick up? What spiritual disciplines do I need to pick up? What are the disciplines that when you practice these things, it helps you in your relationship with God? And we're going to define a discipline as this. A discipline is a regular action that helps me pursue God. That's what a discipline is. I love the way that God described this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. He's making an agreement with the people of Israel, and he knew that the Israelites at points in history would stray from their relationship with him. And God is saying, when you're there, when you've strayed, here it is. But from there, you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all of your heart and soul, what's the promise? Say it out loud. You will find him. See, some of you feel like God is far away, or that God's unconcerned or not interested in your life. But here we have a promise from God in the scriptures that when you seek him, when you pursue him when you take deliberate steps and actions, God will meet you and you will find him. It's a promise. And so as we start this morning, we need to understand this foundational truth that God wants you to know him personally, that God wants a relationship with you. Now, the truth is that there are certain disciplines that lead you towards certain results. I think we all know this. If you're in great physical shape, then you know that you know, eating healthy is important, exercising regularly is important, getting lots of rest is important. You've developed disciplines that have gotten you the result of being in shape and being healthy. For instance, you probably don't have this discipline. If you got that picture? This is not you. You don't do this in good shape, right? This is not going to be you if you want to be in good shape. Yeah, you eat right. Yeah, he's living life for sure. You know, financially, the same thing. Those of you that are financially strong, chances are you've learned the disciplines of living beneath your means, and you've learned the discipline of being generosity. You've invested wisely. There's certain disciplines that have led you to certain results. If you've got a great marriage, it's the same thing. You've learned how to fight fair and how to have fun. You've learned how to carve out lots of makeout time with your spouse, right? Can I get an amen, guys? Anybody? Come on. Same is true in our relationship with God, that disciplines lead us to a place where we want to be. What are the disciplines that you need to pick up? So what disciplines do is they take us from having just kind of a shallow, kind of a surface level relationship with God, and they allow us to go deeper in our walk with God. Now, let me say this, is that all of us will relate to God in different ways. So you don't need to box yourself in and say, well, you know, Joe practices or pursues God like this, and so I need to have the exact disciplines, although I think Joe would be a great life for us to emulate. Wouldn't you agree? I've copied so many things from Joe's life. If I ever meet somebody new, I always introduce them to somebody else. You know what I say? This is my friend, because I got that from Joe. Yeah, but we do need to have disciplines that we're pursuing. They help us to pursue God. But we connect to God in different ways, and I think it's because God has made us unique. You know, for example, I've got three kids. I love them. But the way that I connect with my three kids is completely different. Elijah, he's not a snuggler. He doesn't want to sit there and snuggle. But what he does want to do is he wants to practice basketball. Dad, will you come play basketball with me? If I want to connect with Eli, we go and play basketball. Evie's not like that. She doesn't want to play sports. What she wants is she wants some alone time, or we sit down over a cup of ice cream on a date, and we ask questions. In fact, it was so cute. The last date I took Evie on, she says, Dad, I brought the questions this week. I want to ask you questions. Right? She's learning how to do that, but she loves that. Anytime where it's just focused attention on Evie, that's how she connects. Bear, though, he's not like that. Bear, from the time he was crawling, it's no wonder that his nickname's Bear. He's been headbutting people since he was crawling. And so if I want to connect with Bear, I throw him on the couch and we wrestle and I tickle him. That's how he just flourishes with that kind of attention. See, the idea is that we all connect with God in different ways. In fact, it was so funny. As a family on New Year's Day, we went around and talked about our goals for 2018. And Bear said, my goal is to fight more because that's going to be my sport. Like, we're not teaching him these things. That's just coming from him. So let me ask you, how do you best connect with God? And if you don't know, you know, that's okay. That's okay if you don't know. If you would allow me to suggest some things, I would say that probably the most important spiritual discipline that any of us could pick up is reading our Bible on a daily basis. You know, if you say that you don't like to read the Bible, you don't like reading books, you don't like reading newspapers, you just don't like to read, how about this? How about you listen to the Word of God? And as you're on your commute or as you're walking or exercising, you're getting the Word of God in you. That's the most important discipline that you can pick up. For some of you, you love nature, and when you see the sunrise, it stirs up faith in your heart, and you pray these big prayers, and you connect with God like that. For some of us, you know, it's important for us to know which disciplines help us to grow and which disciplines maybe don't help us to grow. I know for myself, if I could be honest with you this morning, I grew up as a pastor's kid, which means that as a fetus, I was helping my mom lead worship. So she'd be up there playing, and I was, you know, there I was. I grew up in the church, and if you grew up in the church, then you know that there's this thing that I call weird. It's in prayer meetings when we all stand in a circle, and we look at each other, and we hold hands, and then we pray. And then people repeat the prayer that the other person just said, and then if somebody prays a really good prayer, you know what they do? They squeeze hands. You know what that is? You know what I'm saying? They're like, yeah, it's a good prayer, and like, oh, that's good. And like, stop squeezing my hands! Your hands are sweaty! I don't connect well with God like that. I do it because I know other people do. But the best way that I connect with God in conversation is I get up early. It's dark outside on the property, and I just love to walk where nobody can see me because I look like a lunatic. I don't want anybody seeing me like that. But I connect great with God when I can walk or pace or be out in nature. How do you best connect with God? See, for many of us, we're so inundated with noise. Our house, the TV is on, we're in the car and the radio's on, and we get to work and music is on, and we say, well, I just can't hear God speak to me. And I say, you wonder why? Because we're inundated with noise. And maybe a great spiritual discipline for you to pick up is silence, where you say, you know what, in the car, I'm going to practice this. I'm going to turn the radio off. Obviously, it doesn't work if you got little kids. You turn the radio off and you say, you know, God, I just want to hear from you. If you've got anything that you want to speak to me, I'm going to set this time aside in silence to be able to hear from you. Whatever it is, let me challenge you to two things. Whatever disciplines you need to pick up, make sure that it's consistent and it's practical. Consistent meaning that you do it on a regular basis, and practical meaning it's something that you can actually do. First question, what disciplines do that help you experience the presence of God? Second essential question is what barriers do I need to let go of? What disciplines do I need to pick up? What barriers do I need to lay down? See, there are disciplines that really help us connect in our relationship with God. But there are also barriers that really hinder our relationship with God. And I'd say there's probably two main barriers that'll hinder our relationship with God. And these aren't going to surprise anybody. But the first one, if you're taking notes, is sin will hinder your relationship with God. What sin is hindering your relationship with God? Now, sin, you probably know this, sin literally means missing the mark. Everybody ends up somewhere, but most people miss the mark. They say, okay, God says go this way, and we say, okay, that's a great idea, God, I'm going to go this way. That's sin. It's missing the mark, the best life that God has for you. See, few people end up somewhere on purpose. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:34. He said, come back to your senses as you ought and do what? Say it with me. And stop sinning. Right? That's great advice. Great advice. Stop doing the things that break your communion with God. I've been praying for our church this week that there would be those of us that would be so touched by the power of the Holy Spirit that we would stop messing around. You know what I mean? You know, it's God loves us right where we're at, but it doesn't do anybody good for us to say, you know what, I love God, but I do whatever I want. It doesn't do us any good to say, you know what, I love God, but I watch whatever movies I want. I love God, but I'm going to continue to gossip. I love God, but you know, I'm going to do whatever I want or make crude jokes or embezzle the company or whatever it is. I love God, but I'm going to do it. That's just messing around. You know what I'm saying? It's messing around, and it's not what God has for us. And what we're doing is we're hindering just that sweet communion that we can have with God. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. You know, obedience is a response, an act of love, that we can truly obey what God has for us when we know that God loves us, that when he calls us to do something, it's out of love. But we also obey out of a response of love, that God, I love you so much that I want to do this for you. I want to do this. I want to obey you out of a response of love. You know, one of the best disciplines that any of us could pick up is the discipline of confession. Yeah, let me just tell you that sin is like a vampire. Sin will suck the life out of you, and it hates the light. It hates the light. And what confession does, when we tell a trusted friend or one of us as pastors or a spouse, when we confess our sins to one another, you know what the Bible says? God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it takes things that are hidden in the dark and brings it out into the light. And sin cannot thrive in the light. Right? So we confess these things, we bring it out, and the Bible's really clear that God forgives us instantaneously. He forgives us right away. But we restore that sweet communion that we have with God when we begin to confess our sins and then meditate on Scripture and memorize Scripture based off of that area of sin. And God begins to just cleanse us from all of that and does this wonderful work in our lives. Second thing that separates us from God, if you're taking notes, is idolatry. Now, what's idolatry? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Idolatry is when we put anything in first place where only God belongs. When we say, okay, God, you're here, and anything else goes above God, that's idolatry. For some people, it's binge watching Netflix. You know, it's just we get into a show and we spend more time watching TV in a day than we do spending time alone with God in an entire month. As some people, maybe it's social media, or it could be ourselves, or our image, or how we feel. Anytime we say, you know what, I think that's a good direction, God, I know that's what you want for me, but I don't feel like it, that's putting our feelings over God, and that's idolatry. It could be even something good like our kids, that we've got them in so many different activities that it forces us into a frantic rhythm, and it changes our priorities. We can no longer do the things that God would have us because we've got to get kids here and here and here and here. It could be good things even like that. Some people put money ahead of God. Some people put their job or their schedule of got to go here, got to be here, got to make this deal. Therefore, I can't do these things that God is calling me to do. See, I just tell you that your choices determine what you have time for. It's all a matter of priority. What I would love for you to ask yourself is what do you put ahead of God? And then what are you going to do about it? And here's why it's so important for us to ask these questions. I think all of us would hate to get to the end of our life and look back with regret. See, everybody ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. See, you waste a day, and really, what's the big deal with wasting a day? And that's right, what's the big deal? The problem is a couple days leads to a week. And you say, well, what's the big deal about, you know, not being intentional with a week? And you say, you know what, that you're probably right, it's just a week out of a lifetime. The problem, though, is that enough weeks lead to a month, which leads to a new habit. And you got a couple of months, and you've wasted a couple months, and you haven't been intentional, and you look back at the year, and you say, I didn't move forward in any of the areas that matter most in my life. You have enough years, and you get to the end of your life, and you realize you wasted your years investing in things that just don't matter. See, everybody ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. Maybe you saw the 2004 Summer Olympics. Matthew Emmons was shooting for the gold medal. There wasn't anybody even close to this guy. And he's aiming for the target. All he had to do is make it somewhere close to the bullseye, and he would cinch it. It was a 50-meter shot, three-position rifle shot, and so he got down in position. He slowed his heart rate. He stopped breathing. He pulled the trigger, zoom, bullseye, and everybody went wild. They thought it was a gold medal. The problem was that Matthew Emmons shot at the wrong target. It's a true story. He went from a gold medal to eighth place, all because he was focused on the wrong thing. As we wrap up, I want to ask a few questions. Are you where you want to be in your life, in the areas that matter most? Are you where you want to be? And I'll tell you honestly, I'm not. Like, there is no area that really matters to me where I think, okay, I've arrived. I want to grow in every area that matters most. I want to grow. I want to get better. I want to thrive in those areas. I want to grow. Second question is, are you ready for what's next? Because I believe that God wants to do something amazing in your life and through your life in 2018, but you've got to be ready for it. You've got to be open to it. You've got to be intentional about it. And part of that starts by picking up the right spiritual disciplines as you seek to pursue God first in all of your life, and you lay down the barriers that are hindering your relationship with God. Now, I want to end with just a couple of challenges. And many of you are doing these things, and I applaud you for them. But if you don't know how to pursue God, let me give you three of the best things that I can think of. Number one, I already said this, but reading your Bible daily. You get on the YouVersion Bible app, you start a plan. In fact, we gave everybody a 7-day reading plan. This is just kind of get your feet wet. And there's short scriptures. You read through each scripture 4 different times with a different emphasis. And you do this for 7 days, and I promise you, you'll experience God like never before. This is a great thing, and I'd encourage you, if you're going to do this, commit to it and put it on your Connect card. Just put Bible reading plan, and that'll just kind of be your way of saying, I'm committing to this. Second thing, and also that if you've got kids in the house, man, get them plugged into the Word of God. Even if they're little, YouVersion has a Bible app that's just for kids. My kids love it. It's interactive. Figure out a way to get them into the Word. Maybe it's just the verse of the day. Our kids' ministry has the Gospel of Mark with check marks. Our kids are going through that. And it's just a great way to get your kids plugged into the Word of God. So number one, read your Bible daily. Number two, connect with God's people weekly. And we're talking about daily, we're talking about weekly. Connect with God's people weekly. If you've got a hard time getting plugged into church, commit to being here every week for 4 weeks in January. Just commit to being here. You're off to a great start. You got 1 out of 4 away to go, everybody. So great job. So connect with God's people weekly. We're talking about growth groups. Connect with God's people weekly. And then the third one is serve monthly. And you want to find a way that will really help your faith grow, serve other people. Here's a challenge for you, is that we don't want to just be consumers at church where we come and receive, even though that's good and we want people to receive. We want to come and we want to contribute. And so what we did is we came up with these Find Your Fit cards. And on the Find Your Fit card, there are different teams and many of the different ministries that we have in our church. If you're not currently serving once a month in the church, would you please prayerfully consider joining one of these teams and finding out a way that you can serve other people? You'll connect with the people of the church, and you'll also experience your faith growing and developing. If you've got kids that are either in motion, little motion, mini motion, or I love this, the nursery is called slow motion. If you've got kids in one of those, I'd really encourage you. Every parent, if you've got a kid in there, serve once a month with the kids. It's a great way to connect and to grow. So those are the challenges. You've got your Find Your Fit cards. If you know which ministry you want to be a part of, on the back side, you just write your information and drop these off in the box or in the offering as we go. So that would be fantastic. Those are great ways to grow. They're not the only ways to grow, but they are a fantastic way to grow. And let me just remind you, everybody ends up somewhere. Our hope and our prayer for every single person is that we would all end up somewhere on purpose in this 2018 year. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Oh, Holy Spirit, we're just so grateful for your work in our life. We thank you for the power of your word, your perfect word, that it comes to encourage us and correct us and lead us and guide us. And so, Father, we just want to open up our lives to you and all that you have for us. God, would you do a wonderful work in everybody's life in this new year? If you're here this morning with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, honestly, I don't think that I am growing. I look back at 2017 and say, you know, I don't think that I've grown in many of the areas that matter most. I haven't been growing in my relationship with God. But this morning, you're wanting to make a commitment. You're saying, I'm making a commitment today to seek God first, to make my relationship with God my first priority. If that's you this morning, nobody looking around, would you raise your hand? Just make that commitment. Seeking God is my first priority in life. God, we thank you for all the people that are responding to you. And we do, as a church and as individuals, Father, we want to seek you first. And your word says, seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I could imagine that there's many of us that are wrestling with, okay, what about this, and what about this? And you know, I've got all of these different areas. I'm so busy. But your promise is that if we seek you first, you'll take care of everything else. And so, Father, help us with everything that we have, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we would seek you first. Second thing, with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here but you don't know God personally, you need to understand that God is the one that brought you here, that he's been pursuing you. And if you've come to the place where you say, you know, I want to know God through Jesus, here's what Romans 10:9 says. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the promise is you will be saved. No jumping through hoops. You confess with your mouth. you believe in your heart. This morning, if you're either rededicating your life to God, saying, I've walked away from God, but today I'm starting fresh, I'm committing my life to God, or you're here and you've never started a relationship with God, and you say, that's me, I'm starting a relationship with God, would you raise your hand? I won't embarrass you in any way, just a commitment. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anybody else this morning want to respond? I'm starting a relationship with God today. Oh, Father, we're so grateful for your commitment to us and how you pursue us and you want to be in relationship with us. God, thank you that it's not about all the things that we do, but it's all about what you've already done. And now we just get to receive that through your grace by faith. And God, we're grateful for the work that you're doing in all of our lives. We confess that Jesus, you are Lord. We believe in our hearts that you've raised him from the dead. God, we love you more than anything that this world has to offer. One final thing. Always we talk about spiritual disciplines and things to start, there's always a tendency and the opportunity for the enemy to kind of take this and say, well, look at all the things that you haven't done and all the ways that you failed. But you know, we serve a good Father and a Father that looks at us. And if you've tried to start reading the Bible and you failed, and you've tried to start this thing and you failed, you know, God doesn't look at those as failures. He sees those as times that you've really tried to pursue him. And that God doesn't grade your quiet time like, well, you get a C- for that Bible reading. He doesn't say anything like that. That as you just simply try and you take steps and you fail, God is even pleased with those failings. So let's boldly step into what God has for us and say, God, I'm going to pursue you. And by the help of your Holy Spirit, I'm going to pursue you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, we thank you for your goodness. We love you. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. Amen.